We started this series in 2018, and we call it Begin, all right? So it's the sermon series that deals with tenets or basic pillars of our faith, basic things in our Christianity that we might have let lag or let kind of fall to the wayside. And we've done it with this idea that 2018 can be the best year of your life if you'll let it be the best year of your life spiritually. C.S. Lewis has a quote that I love. He said, if you aim at heaven, you get earth thrown in, but if you aim at earth, you get neither. You can be the best year of your life if you let it be the best year of your life spiritually, if you choose to go after that. And so I want to start off today, and it might seem a little counterintuitive. I want to start off, though, with what this series is not. All right, so we're going to look at what it's not first and foremost. And you'll kind of have to kind of follow with me, all right, because we just ended the holidays. And I don't know about your family, but whenever you get together with family or anyone during the holidays or any scenario, there's always the one family member who I guess self-appoints themselves as the scribe or the storyteller of all the embarrassing stories from the past, who just, you know, they tell about you. And I don't know if you've experienced it, but I'll give you any scenario. It's your graduation, and that one family member's like, we never thought you would graduate. You remember you were eating glue in second grade? We never thought you'd get to this place. And you're thinking, you know, why do I need to hear? Everybody knows that. Why now? Why do I need to? Or you get engaged, and there's we never thought you would get married. We never thought. And you're like, I just want to, you know, introduce my significant other to the family. Why you got to bring this up? Why? You have that one person. So let me tell you this morning, that's not who I want to be, all right? I don't want to be the family member who's just telling you what you already know, all right? We're not going to beat you over the head with things that you already know. Last week we started Begin to Pray. Today is Begin to Read the Word. I don't want to be that family member. In a room of men and women who have lived any time as Christians, you know what you should do, all right? I don't expect a eureka moment from last week where you're like, you mean I should talk to God? Like, or I don't expect, you know, you mean I should read my Bible or I shouldn't read my Bible? Like, that's not where I want to go. You know what you should do, all right? I don't want to be that family member this morning. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not here to guilt trip you. I could, right? I could preach a sermon of guilt, all right? I'm probably pretty good at that. I probably could lay it on really thick. I could guilt you. I could get you going. I could motivate you that way. But here's the dance that sometimes sermons and preachers get into preaching. Here's kind of the song and dance that we kind of war with. Because I can get up here and I can say, you are lazy in prayer. You lack zeal in your Bible reading. You lack conviction in your spirituality. I can say that. And here's what happens. If I say it well enough, a lot of you will say, yes, I am lazy in my prayers. I do lack zeal, but no longer, Lord. No longer shall I. And here's what happens, though. You go out, if this is your type of personality, you'll go after sermon to the next meal or whatever it is, and you will pray the longest, most eloquent prayer that you have ever prayed over that meal. And you will be struck from the list of people allowed to pray at meals. And you'll do that, and you might, that night, you might, if you're, you know, type A personality, you might that night start to pray. You have your segment, and this is what I'm, and guilt will lead to motivation for a little while. But it always, always, always runs out. And then when you revert, it leads to guilt again, even more than in the first place. But then in August, we have the 7 days of prayer again. And so I'll get back up here and I'll start again. You lack zeal in your prayers. You lack zeal in your, and you'll say, yes, so you see how the cycle goes. That's not what I want to do, all right? We want to start this series from a place. We want to start this series from a place that you already know. Last week was to pray, and so we went further to ask, to seek, to knock, to pray effective prayers. You get the gist of it this morning, all right? So let's pray over this. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for every heart this morning, God, who listens. God, I thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given, Father. God, I ask you just to move me out of the way, God, and just let your word speak. I thank you, God, for what you're going to do this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so just to kind of bring us full circle from last week to pray, to ask, to seek, and to knock. And I want to start out with 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. And Paul is writing a list of traits, all right? He's writing a list of things that the evil ones will do in the modern day. He's saying people will come who will do these things. And he has some of the heavy hitters that you know on this list. He says the treacherous, the self-loving, the self-indulgent, lovers of pleasure, the greedy. He has all the ones that you would expect. But he ends the list with this one. And it's very interesting. It's a lot different than all the other ones up to this point, but maybe not so different. He ends it. He says, people that will come that have the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. And one of the commentaries on this verse, they put it as a practical paganism, kind of using Christianity for practicality, what we can get out of it. And in the danger of this verse for people who are Christians or people who have been Christians a while, the danger of this verse is we've moved on from, after we got saved, we've moved on from prayer and Bible reading. We got our list of do's and don'ts, and we said we want to go deeper into Christianity now. We want to go for the deeper things, but we forget that the deep part of Christianity is the simple things. It is the prayer. It is the Bible reading. We forget that the power of Christianity is in the simple things. Go as deep as you want, but just remember that the deepest parts are the simple in Christianity. It's this paradox. The prayer and the Bible reading, that's where it is. This Christmas, I've got, and I've talked to you guys about them before, I have a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old, two sons, and we have a little baby girl too. But my two sons, they love Pixar's Cars, right? They love the movie. Next at the movies, we're going to do Pixar's Cars, I think, because just to let you guys share in my misery of watching it, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 times. But they love this movie, and for Christmas, we let them pick a toy each, all right? They got to go with supervision, with me clicking, got to go on Amazon and look at the pictures and pick one toy that they wanted to buy. And so my 4-year-old loves Jackson Storm. It's the race car. He picks the biggest, baddest one on Amazon, all right? He wants that one. But my 3-year-old, Liam, he picks one kind of off the wall. He picks this car. He just points to the picture that he wants that one. And I wrote the name down of this car because I started to, you know, they name these things fantastic. It's the Finn McMissile Airhawk Zero Gravity Vehicle. All right, so I'm looking at this thing like, what is it? Its claim to fame is this thing not only is a little RC car, goes around, it climbs walls. It goes along the road, it goes to the wall. When it hits a wall, it climbs the wall like a cockroach or something going in your house, all right? It can climb. So I'm skeptical, but we watch YouTube videos, some guy's showing it, climbing his walls. I don't know. It's I don't know what they did, but we're excited now. All right. So Elijah and Liam, me, we're all pumped. All right. My wife, not so much, but we are pumped. I'm excited. I want to see this thing climb walls. So we wait. It's not prime. We wait like 2 weeks for this thing to come in. It shows up last week and we are so pumped to see this thing. All right. We take it out. It needs like 100 batteries to put it every which way. If I had bought a share in Energizer Core at this point, by the amount of batteries that I bought, I would be ahead. But we put in the batteries. We got ready. It's all going. We fire it up. This thing sounds like a jet engine. It starts to fire up like that. Elijah and I are pumped, and we're doing it. Liam's holding that thing. And just as we're about to run to the wall and put it on there. And Liam, the one whose toy it is, he just says, really, he says, no, no. And he turns it off, and he goes, and Elijah and I are like, no, no, Liam, it climbs the walls. Let us. And he said, no, no. And I'm thinking to myself, what chapter of the parenting book lets you just like take your child's toy and go and play with it? And so we spent like 10 minutes trying to convince him, showing him the picture on the box, showing him the YouTube video. And Liam, the thing climbs walls. And he just, and Liam, you gotta know him. He has a personality all to himself. He doesn't even like respond to us anymore. He won't even like look at it. He's just playing. And then he gets up and he goes to the other side of the room and sits down and just starts to play with his toy. And just full disclosure, I had to wait till he was asleep, clutching Finn McMissile. I had to do like an Indiana Jones, switch it out for, you know, like a teddy bear or something. I had to sneak at midnight. I'm in my house alone, climbing the walls with Finn McMissile. Just because I had to see what it is. So stick with me as far as this little anecdote or analogy, as far as this will take us, okay? Stick with me. Some of you have the authority to speak into your life the truths of God's word, but you're content to just... Some of you have the authority to speak into your marriage the peace of God's word, but you just... Some of you have the authority to speak into your family. You have this authority, you have it, but you won't even take the power. You have the form of godliness, but you won't accept the power. Some of you can climb the walls, but you won't turn the thing on. You can write that, put that on a bumper sticker. Confuse yourself, confuse everybody else. You can climb the walls, but you won't turn it on. You won't turn the thing on. And so we started last week. This is what this series is, Begin. Begin to turn on the power of God in your life. Begin to accept the power of it. Not just the look of godliness, but accept the power of it. So last week was begin to pray. And if that is God, us talking to God, this week begin to read. It's God talking to us. That's what this Sunday is about. And there's no better resolution. Listen, there's no better thing that you can do at the beginning of the year than determine to spend your year in God's Word. To spend your year in the Word of God. And let me make a distinction here. Not sermons, not listening to worship songs. That all has its place. It's all fantastic. But the actual, to listen to the Word of God. To read the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1 this morning. It says, in the beginning was the Word. So before the printed page, before all of that, God calls himself the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is God. You want to get to know God better, get to know your Bible better. You want to hear God speak to you, read your Bible. I don't gloss over this because it's simple or because you've heard it 1,000 times. You want to know God better, know your Bible better. And Jesus comes to the earth, and he said he not only continues to speak words of God, he says, I'm going to come to earth and I'm going to show you God. John chapter 1, verse 14. And it says in John 1, 14, it says, the Word became flesh. The Word became a person. This is Jesus. And it made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It says the Word became flesh. God became a man. The Word itself was Jesus. Jesus said, you might not understand it. You might do it. And so my job this morning is to make you, not make you, to convince you that you should love the Bible. That you should continue to read it. That you continue to do it. And then at the end, I'm going to give you some practical tips just to begin to live it. So here's the claim that Jesus makes. John chapter 6. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit. And this word here, Spirit, this is not the direct translation of the word, because we don't really have one English word to translate the word that's used there. It's pneuma in the Greek. It's P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma. And the direct one, the most direct we have for that would be breath. But if we put breath in there, it would just say the words that God has are breath. And it wouldn't mean a lot to you. But what this word is actually entailing is that it's not only spoken, it's not only the word of God, but it's accompanied with the power of God to fulfill the word. That's what's all encompassed in this one word, Spirit. It's the word that God speaks accompanied with the power of God to fulfill it in your life. This is the tie into last week when we learned about the Rhema word. The word that you're reading over and over and then suddenly God reveals it to you in this verse. God reveals something to you, gives you a truth of the Rhema word. Something in the Bible that God speaks into your life. And so what this verse says is when God does that, when you have that word, when God speaks it, he also includes the power to fulfill it in your life. Gosh, I'll amen that if you won't amen that. Amen. The most literal translation we can have of that is God gives the power to fulfill it in your life. And so that's what sets apart the Bible from other books. That's what makes it come alive. That's the part that makes the Bible a living and active thing. Not just a book that sits, for the Word of God is living. And I love this, how it says, the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thought. This is all Bible language for it will get up in your life. It will get into your attitudes, into your emotions, into your relationships. It doesn't just sit. This thing will get into your life and it will work. It will work. The breath of God. It's alive and active. And the tragedy is when we get past this kind of drive-by guilting where I just kind of throw it at you, when we get past all of that, a lot of people say, well, okay, I know I should pray. I know I should read my Bible, but I don't get a lot out of it or I don't understand it. And so that's the first thing that I want to address this morning. I want to kind of come at that in a couple of ways. And the first way is just the theology of it. All right, I just want to lay out just the systematic theology of reading the Word and what it can do in your life. And then the second way, and both of these are pretty short, the second way, it's just practicality. Just pragmatism. I want to give you a few things that just to help you in your walk, to help you in building your life on the Word for 2018. And the first one is the theology of it, how the Bible comes alive. And so the first point this morning, if you do take notes, if you don't, it's all right. I'll write them down for you afterwards. Just kind of listen this morning. The first one is that faith sets the Word in motion. What begins to activate faith, or what begins to activate the word in your life, what begins to let it start to work in your life is faith. Hebrews 4:2, and it says, "For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them." It didn't do anything. They heard the word preached to them, but it didn't do anything. Why not? Because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. They didn't mix it with faith. And so it says that those people heard the word, but what activated it? It was faith. Faith sets the word in motion. Faith turns the natural into supernatural. The difference between this book is not that your faith suddenly gives the Bible power. It's your faith gives it the authority to move in your life. Your faith speaks that into your life. And so some of you, I just frustrated maybe a little bit more, and you say, well, I don't get anything out of this, and I don't have faith. And so we'll take you kind of a step back. And the next part is, it says, revelation is what activates your faith. Revelation is what sets your faith in motion. And that's what we talked about last week with the Rhema word, that when the Holy Spirit begins to reveal in your life a word, he begins to show you, and some of you, you've been reading your Bible so often, you've been seeing bits and pieces of this, where God speaks something into your life. That revelation is what activates your faith. That revelation that God speaks into your life. I love in the story of Luke, the angel comes to Mary, and he tells her, you're going to have a child, and it's going to be Jesus, the God. And she says, how can these things be? And he tells her, and then he says this phrase to her. He says, for no word from God will ever fail. And if you're astute, you guess this already. This word he uses for word from God, this is Rhema. No word that God speaks with the power to fulfill it will ever fail. No word that God gives to you with the power to fulfill it in your life will ever fail. So then what do? We begin to build our lives on God's word. If you're going to build your life, you build it on something that does not fail. Matthew 7:24, this is not a translation. This is the Message Bible. It's a paraphrase. And it's someone who took a translation and then rewrote it to make it in clearer English. And not all the time study from actual translations of the text, but sometimes he hits it out of the park. So this is Matthew 7:24. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. It's Jesus speaking. They're not just incidental. They're not homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words. Words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house upon a solid foundation, the rock. Because he goes on to say that storms are going to come. There's no verse in the Bible that says no storms if you pray this verse. No hardships if you pray this. If there was, I would preach it every Sunday. There's no verse that says it's all going to be held back. You're not going to be touched by any of the trials of this world. There's no verse like that. But he says when the storms come, when they beat against the house, the ones who have no foundation, the house falls. But the ones who build their house on the solid rock, the foundation, the word of God. If you choose to build your house on the word of God, when the storm comes, when you go through the things that you're going through, when hell breaks against you, the house stands strong. So that's the theology part. All right, so let's move the second part now just into the practicality. The first step of the practicality of living the word of God, of putting your foundation on. The first one is you have to accept the authority of God's word. What is the Bible going to be to you? Is it just going to be a book of good people who wrote good things, who had some good ideas and they wrote them down, and a historical record and different things like that, or poetry or whatever? What is the Bible? Or is it the inerrant, infallible word of God? What is the Bible going to be to you? And I said this already, your belief in it does not give power to the Bible, but it does give it the authority in your life. You have that control to choose what has the authority. You have that control to give. And the first step, just practically, is to accept the authority. Choose. This is not some spiritual high mumbo jumbo. This is you choose to have to let the Bible have the authority in your life. It begins with your attitude. And there are things in the Bible that are hard to understand. I get that. There are things that are hard. And so when you come to that place where, and there are things that are hard to accept in the Bible, when you come to that place where you decide, who am I going to trust, myself or God and his word? You come to that, you know the verse, I think it was Thursday night or Friday in our daily Bible readings in Proverbs, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You choose who you're going to trust in, the authority of God's word. And there are things in there that are hard to accept. And a lot of people say, well, you know, that's good, and that was great for its time period, but, you know, it's 2018 and things change. That's true. Culture changes. God's word doesn't. The truth of God's word does not change. And this is a battle that we're going to fight in the next few years. It's a battle we're going to fight in this generation, where darkness is going to throw itself against the truth of God's word. And listen to me close. This is not a battle we're going to fight along political lines, or a battle we're going to fight along country lines or ethnic lines. This is a battle that we fight as the church of Jesus Christ against the darkness that is going against it. This is what we choose as Christians, the authority of God's word. It needs to stand above what you think. It needs to stand above your political ties. It needs to stand above everything in your life, the truth of God's word. And that's why here at Victory, we believe in the closed canon of God's word. Nothing added to it, nothing taken away from it. Everything that we do rises and falls on the word of God. Every sermon that we preach, every worship song that we sing, it rises against the standard of the word of God. There's been songs that have come out, Christian songs that have come out, worship songs that are great musically, and they're fantastic. They sound great. Everything, the rhythm, everything is great, but we don't sing them because they don't stand against the word of God. Because whoever wrote it just thought it sounded good, but it doesn't stand against. If I ever say anything that doesn't line up to you, go with the word of God. The word of God is the standard that we use. And so I'm telling you, this is the battle. This is where the fight is. That darkness is going to do everything that it can to throw itself against the authority and the truth of God's word. All right, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God continually. We thank God continually because when you received the word from us, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. What activates it? What starts it? What's the practical thing? You accepted it as the word of God. The word of God. And so we said it over and over in this series. This can be the best year of your life if you let it be the best year spiritually. You start to build your life on the word of God. So the first one, you accept it. The second practical thing this morning, you start to incorporate it into your life. You start to incorporate it into your life. This can't just be a Sunday thing. This can't just be your Sunday morning or your weekday morning, kumbaya, quiet time. Some of your problem is your quiet time is maybe a little, too quiet. You have it a little too early in the morning. You've been done. This can't just be your kind of drive-by type. No, this has to get into your life. And so how do you do that? The first way is by listening to God's word. And I know I'm preaching to the choir right now. You're here, right? You're here on a Sunday morning. By listening to Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You're listening to the word of God. Unless you think that I'm tooting my own horn or I'm making big of my, this is my prayer that I have before I ever come out here on a Sunday. This is the prayer just to kind of give you a sneak into it. I ask that God uses any sentence, anything that I say between the verses, between the word of God, to either set up the context, to explain it, and then to shut me up. Because the word of God is where the power is. There is no power in the word of Ben, all right? There is no power that I suddenly have these eloquent things to say. I ask God, use whatever I say to set up your word, to let your word start to think, and then shut me up, move me out of the way. Whatever I have to say, Lord, just let it glorify your word. That's what it is. So listening to the word of God, that's how you begin to activate it in your life. Jesus tells about the sower. It's a parable that he tells where he says the sower goes out and throws the seed onto different land, onto good ground or bad ground. And he talks about how some of the seed takes root and some of it doesn't. Some of it shrivels up and dies. And he says the seed is the word. It is the gospel being sown out. And I love the phrase that he uses when he describes, when he tells the disciples what to do after this parable. He says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. You want to build your life on the word of God. Let this be your motto for 2018. Consider carefully how you listen. How you listen to the word of God. I promise you 2018 will be different for you than all the other years if you consider carefully how you begin to listen to the word of God. And the second part this morning, after you listen to it, this is the obvious one, you start to read it. Matthew 4:4, it says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. We've been praying. Everybody's been praying and fasting something different this week. If you're fasting, food, this sounds delicious to you right now. Just to give you a lesson in trial and patience, fast food and then read your Bible and see how many verses are about food. All right. How many verses in the Bible it'd be funny to you if you're fasting food right now, all right? But it says every word that comes out, that more important than the meals that you eat, more important than the regimen. And I know all of you Some of you more than others have a regimen of how you eat and what you eat. You know what time of the day you eat, and if you miss it, you become cranky beyond words. But some of you, you know that. Let that be in your Bible reading. And we're going to talk about this in just a second, but let that be. Treat it as a meal. Treat it as something that you do. You know you do it because you need it to survive. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So how is this? How do we cultivate the practicality of this in our lives? And so I just have some things here, all right? These are just practical. I just want to help you with this. The first one is get a Bible. All right, get a Bible. And I have a subsection of this I'm going to get to in a second, but I want to say this at the beginning. Get a some form of it. When cameras started first getting put onto cell phones and they started improving the quality of them, they went to a photographer and asked him, what is the best camera you can have? Is it the small form of a cell phone, lens and tripod? What's the best combination or thing? And the quote he did that went kind of viral in magazines was, the quote was, the camera that is best is the one that you have with you. The one that you have with you to catch the moment. It doesn't matter how great a camera you have at home, the one you have with you. So get a Bible. If it's a digital Bible on your phone that you take with you everywhere, use that. If it's a big honking size of a car Bible that you want to pull around and let that be your witness, I don't care what it is. Get it with you. And then contradictory to that, and I'm going to say this morning, it's going to make me sound old and I don't know, religiosistic. I don't care how it makes me sound. This one, get a paper Bible. Have at least one paper Bible as well, all right? And this is not for you can come in here and hit somebody over the side of the head with it. But I want you to have a Bible that you call your Bible. All right? This is not trying, again, divorce this from any religiosistic. This is practical that I'm trying to get for you. Okay? Because in this Bible, this is my Bible here, all right? You like it? This is my Bible. I love this Bible, all right? I've had this Bible for 9 years. This Bible has gone to some crazy places in the world with me. It has gone through some crazy. I write in this thing. I take notes. I write things that happen next to verses when God speaks them to me. When I go back, it improves my faith. It gets me going. When I go back that verse and I see what God has answered or promises that he's fulfilled, this is my Bible. And just to give you... Why not? I'll share this thing. When I first started preaching, I didn't know how to end a service. I didn't know how to pray at the end or what to say or how to do like a sinner's prayer or anything. So I wrote it and I hid it in my Bible. And you know how we say, like, everybody close your eyes and bow your heads? I don't. I'm like down like this. Like repeat after me. Lord Jesus, please go. There you go. There's my confession's good for the soul, bad for the reputation. This is my Bible. I love this Bible. I don't know where it is in the Bible, but I know where it is in this Bible, all right? You know what I'm saying, right? It's on the left-hand side at the top. This is my, I want that for you. I want you to have your Bible. And again, if a digital way is the only way that goes with you to work and goes with you, I'm not dogging that at all. I thank God for it. I am the face of technology here at the church, all right? I love screens and I love every stream we do and I love everything that we have technology-wise. We put it on the website, we put our daily Bible, we do all of that. But I just want to give you this practical thing. Get a paper Bible. If you don't have one, we want to give one to you. All right? Out in the foyer on the middle table back there. They're setting them up during the sermon. We have a Bible for you. If you don't have one, grab it. Completely brand new, completely free for you. Just grab it with you. Take it with you. Start to mark in it. Start to write in it. Let it be your Bible. We just want to do that for you. If we run out, we'll buy you more. Just take. I want you to have your Bible. All right? I want you just to have a copy of God's word. And the last point, I almost didn't add this one in here. The point for this is when you're reading this, all right, there are no pop-up notifications. There are no links to click. Some of you know what your attention span is. There are studies that say that you retain more when you read the paper as opposed to the digital, all right? I don't want to get into that argument with you, though. But they say there's even just a psychological thing of holding a book and feeling how much is left and how much you've read to see your progress that helps in the retention of the reading. I'm just trying to help you with this, all right? If you find yourself getting distracted, you know what? You can't start reading in here and then end up on Instagram or Twitter. You can do that with your device. I always enjoy the photos of people that take like a picture of their coffee cup and their Bible, and they're like, you know, in my devotion. I'm like, you're not in your devotion. You're taking pictures. You want to stay focused in, I don't know how we got so far off track this morning. You want to stay focused in your reading. You want to stay focused. Amen. You want to stay focused in your reading. That's why we have, you guys think this is like some older person at the church came up with the laminated. This is me. I want to give you guys the laminated list that you look on here and you look in here and read it. All right. This is, I want you to have that experience. All right. So that's the practical thing. Lord, help me. Lord Jesus, help me. All right. So that's the practical thing. If you don't have a Bible, we want to give it to you. And then I want you just to dignify the time that you spend. Set apart time to spend in that Bible. And I want you to dignify the time that you spend in reading God's word. If you dignify the time, I guarantee you, you will have more focus on what you are reading. If you say, this is the time that I spend, you don't just let it kind of move and flux with the day. You say, this is the time that I spend in my Bible. This is the time that I spend asking God to speak to me, giving me a word, giving me the rhema, the pneuma, the power to fulfill it in my life. You try it for 1 week. This week, you try it for 7 days. I guarantee you'll come back next Sunday. I guarantee you'll come back next Sunday and you'll say, my week was so different. Just give me 1 week to try this. 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day to read the Bible reading. 1 week. And the third thing under this, how do you get this in your life incorporated, is to have a plan. Have a Bible plan. We have this one because if you're just kind of reading through it, and it's all important, but if you're just kind of reading or just kind of flipping through, just kind of picking a verse for the day, or you're kind of just going to the same verse, have a plan for how you're going to read the Bible. We have our one-year Bible that we do as a church, and you can take those. They're on the sides of the pews. If you want to take one of those, we give them to you every 2 months. Just start today. Just start reading with us, and you read the Bible, and it's just a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament, a psalm and a proverb for each day. Because if you just read it through, and again, it's all important, but there are some bogged down parts that are hard to get through. There's 4 chapters of begets, right? Like so-and-so begat this, so-and-so begat. There are some parts that get a little slow. If that's your whole devotional for the day, but this way it breaks it up. You get a thing. So when you read, 4 chapters of some skin disease in Leviticus, thank God for a psalm that day, right? Thank God for some uplifting proverb. You get a little bit of each thing for your day. You begin to find a verse. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. There are a lot of plans. You find the plan that you like. You don't have to do this one. I encourage you, we're doing it as a church. If you want to have this one, it takes about 10, 15 minutes to read. I encourage you to do it with us. But if there's something else you want to do, you want to read through the Gospels this year, just over through the Gospels. You want to get more of Jesus. You want to do Psalms. You want to do Proverbs for a month every day. There are a lot of different plans, but I just encourage you, have a plan. I know you just begin to ask yourself the question, or when you're going home today, put each other on the spot. Just say, do you have a Bible reading plan? All right, I'll give you that. Just make it real awkward in the car. All right, just have that in your kids. Just ask them, hey, what is your, let them pick what it is. All right, let them have that power over it, but make sure they have one. Make sure you have a plan. And my only advice to you, just kind of closing that part of it, is don't let it stack up. I had a friend, we did a reading. It was a different one than this, but we did it 4 years ago or 5 years ago. And he said, we had started the new year, and he said, I know it's January, but I'm still in September. And he said, I've got like 300 chapters to catch up, all right? I'm just going to read them. Just wait for me. And don't let it, it'll come around next year, all right? It'll come around the same 1 year Bible. Read the Bible for today. Don't just become rote and ritualistic about it where you're just going to try to, just speed read through it. Read the Bible for today. All right, listen to it, read it. And the last one, letting it work in your life. Let it change you. It changes you by hearing the word of God. It changes you by reading the word of God. And then you let it work in your life. Psalms 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart. I've hidden your word. I've listened to it, I've read it, I've memorized it, I've claimed it, I've heard you speak it to me. And then look what happens, look what the promise of this verse is. When you have it so deep within you that I might not sin against you, against God. He said, I've hidden your word so deep inside of you, and watch what happens when you do, sin goes. If I can just be honest with you this morning, a lot of you are sick of the sin. There's few people in the world that say, I'm so happy in my sin. I'm so excited. There are very few that say, a lot of you are sick of it. Paul wrote, the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. You're sick of it. There's parts of you at times that look nothing like you. You say, I'm sick of doing this. You sin over and over, and you say, I can't get this out of my life. And you cry out to God to help, and you cry, and you say, and the promise of this verse that if you get the word so deep inside of you, you start to let it start to work in your life. Sin goes. You get into accountability with other people who are studying the word. You begin to let the power of God work in your life. Not that you become perfect, not that you become this sinless thing, but you want the power to start to break the sin off your life. You get into the Word of God. You get into the Word. This can be the best year of your life if you let it be the best year spiritually. James 1:22. This is the final moment. You start to use it. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do not merely listen. Do what it says. I can't get more simplistic, more practical than that. Do what it says. Here's just my plea to you this morning at the end. Find a verse for every situation. Whether it's a verse of what to do, or whether it's a verse of how to pray, or whether it's a verse of what God has promised, find a verse for every situation. Find a verse for your marriage. Find a verse to speak into it. Find a verse for your children. For every situation that you come to, when you're going to make a decision, when you move into a new house, when you're deciding whether to take a new job, when you're thinking all these different things that come at you, find a verse for every situation. Not only will you begin to know God's word more, you'll begin to read it more, you'll begin to use it more, but then you have that promise from God. Find a verse for every situation. I want the Bible to become alive for you. I don't want my sermon to become alive for you. I don't want my advice to become alive for you. I want the Word of God to become alive in your life. It'll be the best year of your life if you let it be the best year of your life spiritually. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Father God, Lord, I thank you, God, for your Word. I thank you, Lord, for the power of your Word. God, I ask you to begin just to work it into our lives. Lord, I ask you, as every person in this place, God, we accept it as your Word. We accept the authority of the Bible in our lives, God. We accept it as the foundation of our lives. Lord, we ask you, just work it into every single part of us. God, begin to put the Word inside of it. Let it come out of us, Lord. Lord, as we read together, God, as a body of Christ, as a church, as we read your Word together, Lord, each day, just begin to work on us. Help us take it, Lord. Help us apply it. Speak the power into our lives, God. And accompany it with your power, Father, to fulfill the Word in our lives. Lord, we make room in our hearts for your Word. We place it over our lives, Lord. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all God's church said, amen. Amen, amen. Guys, I want to just encourage you this week. Take 1 week. Get into the plan. Start to read your Bibles. Start to let it work in your life. Just take 1 week and see what God will do. And then I want to encourage you, if you want prayer this morning, you want us to pray, we have a prayer team that just wants to join with you up here at the altar. We're going to keep the music going. I encourage you, fellowship, go out in the foyer and fellowship. But if you want prayer, come to the front. We just want to pray with you. We want that to be the legacy of Victory Harvest, that we pray over each other, that we guard each other, that we dig into God's Word, that we have this foundation. And go out and be blessed this year, guys. And we'll see you next Sunday morning for Begin.